if we can get to the blocker corporations. Sure. So the Times article alleges that through the Paradise Papers, they've found out that about $10 million or so in investments is invested in a blocker corporation in the Cayman Islands. And what purpose does an investment like that serve? Is that part of this mitigating cost and increasing return?
Right. Yes. So if you think about what this blocker, and I mean, that's just a term of art, I guess, a blocker corporation, we give them money, and I'll make an adjustment on the $10 million in a minute. It's a little bit less than that at the moment. But we invest with them, with a blocker corporation, and that blocker corporation takes our money, and they reinvest it in multiple opportunities, not just in the Cayman Islands, but all over the world for that matter. And the benefit there largely is that it reduces our administrative costs. Think about it as an individual. We could buy 10 different shares of stock from different companies, Apple, General Motors, IBM, and so on. But gosh, we got to keep track of all of that and, you know, manage the taxes on certain dividends. If we have investments, let's say, in treasury bills, that interest income is taxed at a very low or oftentimes zero rate, whereas dividends from, say, IBM are taxed at normal income rates, and yet there's another tax called capital gains tax that's taxed at another rate. So there's a lot of administrative work behind the scenes in investing, and so a blocker corporation, first and foremost, just allows us to provide them the funds, they invest them, and we follow how they invest them, and then we get the returns after taxes, and then we get some of the principal back over time also. And so right now, I just checked on this, Wes, this morning, and right now we're down to now about $3 million with that blocker corporation that the New York Times talked about. So $3 million, you know, on a $2 billion portfolio, I mean, it's less than 0.25%. So it's really a pretty modest level of investment, but that's why we do it, is it helps us provide, lowers our taxes, but it also lowers our administrative costs. And all of that creates more money. I want to go back to the beginning, creates more money for students and faculty support.
Thank you very much for correcting me. It's $3 million, not $10 million.
No, it's fine.
Is that investment in this so-called blocker corporation, did that come from the endowment or was that gifted to the endowment?
So yes and yes. So all of the gifts that come to the endowment come in from gifts. Okay, it's all gift funds, if you will. So you may write a check, and I may write a check to Indiana University to create, say, a scholarship endowment, and it goes into that one big pool of $2 billion. And then our investment committee and our investment team allocates that $2 billion into a variety of places. So some of it might go into Apple stock. Some of it might go into treasury bills. Some of it goes, and $10 million of it, several years back, by the way. So you're not incorrect, and the Times article was not incorrect. It was just not current. So at one point, we had $10 million invested with this blocker corporation. And then over time, the blocker corporation pays you your returns back, your investment returns, and is winding down and paying you back some of the principal as well. So we're now down to about $3 million on that.
And Mr. Smith, I have to ask, there is a question of the morality of this. On the one hand, the more that you can squeeze out of these investments, the more opportunities you're capable of providing potential students at Indiana University, the more you can help subsidize people's education. On the other hand, it does raise this question of, is the endowment backing principles that aren't necessarily best practices or continue kind of a system that allows people to avoid paying federal taxes?
No, it's certainly a fair question, and it gets asked a lot. And I think, you know, let me frame it up in a couple of different ways. First of all, there are a lot of investments we have that give us returns with almost no taxable income. So let's say if you buy municipal bonds, so let's say for Monroe County, if they float a bond offering to rebuild infrastructure, they'll pay you maybe 3 or 4 percentage points of interest. So 3% interest is more than what you can get on a savings account. But I think in many cases, some of those bond offerings are tax-free. Is that immoral? I don't know. You're getting a nice, safe return, and you're not paying taxes. And so, to me, and the way I think we see things with our investments is that we absolutely will stay within the guidelines of the law. The government sets those laws, so the government said this was okay. So are they being immoral to allow an institution to get a tax benefit or a tax write-off? Are they immoral for letting us write off and reduce them for writing off our mortgage interest, for example, or moving to Florida, where if I live there 6 months and one day, I don't pay any state income taxes in the state of Indiana? The government sort of allows you to do this. So we could discuss that at great length, but the way we see it is the government draws the lines of the playing field out there, and our responsibility to our students, our responsibility to the university, and our responsibility to our donors is to make sure that their money generates the best return within those boundaries. But it's commonly used. It's the use of block corporations is just such a common practice right now, and it's common because, again, it does have advantages for the university and for students, for support of the university, and the government allows for it.
Mr. Smith, is there anything else that you'd like to add or you would like our listeners to know that we haven't gotten around to during the course of this interview, either with regards to the IU Foundation, the foundation's endowment, or with specifics to this case about the blocker corporations?
I think it's just important that people understand that we use the endowment not to make political statements or judgments. The endowment is there as a force for good for, quite frankly, the citizens of the state of Indiana to provide their young people with a world-class education that's also affordable. So that's what we're trying to do.
Mr. Smith, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning. I really appreciate it. If I can ask you one more question, I'm just wondering, there's no current plan to deviate from the use of a blocker corporation or anything like that on the horizon. Is that correct?
I don't know that I would call it deviating from using it, Wes. It's winding down. This is an investment vehicle that, like I said, started out some years back at $10 million, and over time, we get our principal back from the investment along with investment returns. So today it's at $3 million. And my sense is from our investment team is that it will continue to kind of wind down. But I don't know. We keep our eyes open on the horizon for, you know, attractive opportunities, again, that'll benefit the university and, of course, operate within commonly accepted guidelines.
Mr. Smith, thank you again so much for speaking with us. I really appreciate you taking the time, particularly from abroad.
That's fine. It's a delight. Take care now.
You too.